City Talk.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
This is the main event of the evening. 12 rounds of boxing for the undisputed heavyweight championship of the world. Introducing
from Birmingham.
Introducing
the winner from Liverpool, Tony the Warrior Dodson.
Good morning. Can only introduce one of them. One of them is on a beach somewhere, probably listening on his smartphone app. And that is Sean Masher. I think he's in Mallorca, maybe somewhere in Spain. I don't know.
Try and get him on the phone.
Morning, Masher. Hope you're all right.
All right, Mash.
Tell you what, he's having the time of his life, that lad. Yeah, he's having a couple of weeks away from the scene. Before he gets back into it. But Tony's here. The Warrior's always on card.
Morning, Steve.
How are we? Very
I'm
good.
I'm okay, me. Yeah. Yeah.
Just look to your right TV screen here. The me golf.
Left. You're right. My left.
Okay. You played golf before?
I've got a thing with golf where I'm too much aggression.
Right, let's have a look at some of the big stories this week. I had Jazza Dickens on the phone the other day and he was heading down to Cardiff to do his press conference ahead of the Rigondo fight. He was heading back and then he's going to go back down on Friday. But the Jazza Dickens story, I think, is rather a hidden story. Not that many people know about him, his background, how he's got to where he's got to. And this fight against Guillermo Rigondo on Saturday night for a world title belt is enormous. Enormous.
That as well.
Yeah, is that right? Let me just give you an idea of his background. So Jazza, and there's a great piece from Michael McKenna in the Echo today.
Jazza, people need to read that because they need to see his background. It's amazing.
Well, he grew up in a really tough environment. His dad was a heroin addict, took his toll on Jazza, got himself tangled up in crime, was selling drugs on the streets of Liverpool just to pay his way as an amateur boxer. And he says it was divine intervention that got him to where he is today. Maybe just took the right turn at the right corner, ended up in a boxing gym and got on the path he was meant to be on.
He found God as well. If it works for you, then that's fine.
So it's a long road he's been on already. He was just 12 when he first got into a boxing ring. A lot of fighters come from difficult backgrounds, don't they?
A lot of the time. They do. I think it's like you get a lot of them with this butch attitude and they want to fight. They get involved in school because of, I don't know, maybe the anger because of what they've gone through. Maybe that's their way of dealing, letting stress out through punching a bag, punching someone in the ring. But when that aggression and that thought process is taken by a trainer and put on the right path, you can turn angry little kids into world champions.
Have you seen them walk into a gym when you've been there and then you've watched the transformation?
Yeah, one of my good mates was one of the angriest kids you could ever meet. You know, to the point where he was in sparring because he weren't getting his own way, wanting to kick and lash out and do things. And, you know, that was taken by John Rice at Gemini ABC, and it was put on the right path and, you know, directed the right way, and it turned his life round. He turned into a really respectable, nice lad, humble, not at all the aggressive, want to fight everyone child that walked in the gym. He just turned his life round. It does. You get that respect for your trainer. You get that. You learn to respect others, and I think every kid should be involved in boxing to some extent. I mean, don't go on and I'm not encouraging everyone to fight because it's a really hard life, but just to earn that discipline and respect, like my son, now my son's doing it. And it's turned his life around because he's got the respect for John Rice like I did. And it teaches him not only to respect John, but to respect other adults, other people, show respect until you're disrespected, which is something I think all kids should learn.
Because maybe the perception is it turns you into an angrier sort of person, but it isn't. It's the other way around, isn't it?
Well, that's what people would think. You would turn you into an angry person because you want to fight, but it's not, because it's enhanced and used and shown how to I don't know, act as a more disciplined person. You know what I mean? And it does work with 99% of kids.
I mean, you're doing some great work with the fire service, aren't you?
Yep.
So with Mersey Fire Service, and you ground some of the troubled neighbourhoods sort of talk to young people. Do you direct them to boxing when you talk to them?
Well, I can only advise them. That a lot of the time, the kids see me in my fire service uniform and they really think I'm straight away police, and we're not police. We work for the fire service. We work on the street trying to get kids that are basically in bad ASB areas, causing problems, lighting fires, this, that, the other. And we try and get them off the street. We work with the Prince's Trust. There's thousands of things that we can help them do apprenticeships, placements. But they've got to commit to us. And when they see the uniform, it's quite hard. I mean, I'm sort of like an icebreaker with them because a lot of the kids in the city know who I am. So they'll stand and talk to me and I can advise them and we can get them arranged, you know, sort out when they want to get in the gym, where they can go to, where's best for them, give them advice. We can help them in so many ways, but they've got to commit to us first. I mean, we are a real, a massive deterrent for them as well when they're misbehaving. You know what I mean? Just us being there and our presence in the area is a real deterrent for them. But it's good. The kids, you know, if they see me about, they only have to come up to me and ask me. And we do so many things that we can give them.
And just going back to Jazza, I mean, he's trained at the Everton Red Triangle all his life. Obviously, things turned out positive for him and for his family as well. I mentioned his dad before. His dad's now clean. He's won a big fight. Jazza's won his own big fight. And he's got his own humongous fight to face now, which is this one against Rigondo. Put it into context for us. How good is Rigondo and how lucky is Jazza to get this fight right now in his career?
He's on par with Mayweather. He's that good. He is that good. He's a magician in the ring. He's because he's not an American or a British fella, he's Cuban.
Cuban, isn't he?
For the publicity side of things, it's not really he's not really been taken on by the public because he's Cuban. He's not got the PR side of things correct behind him. But the people in boxing know about him because of the Olympics, the Olympic medals. He's won the world championships. He's absolutely done everything asked of him. I mean, when was the last time he actually boxed? It was a while ago, wasn't it? I think it was over 12 months
ago. Well, he was meant to fight, wasn't he? Against Jazza here, and that got postponed.
He was world champion in remission, is it? I think that's what he was. For some contractual reasons or whatever's gone on. But as I say, if he was backed like the likes of Anthony Joshua are, or say a Mayweather, he'd be a world superstar. Now the average person on the street would know him, not just the boxing circle. This guy is the dogs. He's really, really, really unreal.
Am I right in saying he's not loved in his home country? Is there some
sort of... No, because in Cuba you're not allowed to be professional, are you? You're not allowed to. You got to move away. So I think because Cuba's a very secluded country, it's that you're not going to get the PR. I don't even think they're allowed to use social media in that country. I'm not sure.
So he's heading over here. South Wales, the venue's Cardiff, the Ice Arena.
You know what makes me laugh? Sorry to interrupt you, Steve, but Rigondo followed me on Twitter when he was supposed to fight Jazza the first time, and it was amazing. He was tweeting things in English, blah, blah, and then yesterday he tweeted something in Welsh. The guy can't even speak English, so I don't know who it is that's looking after his Twitter, because it's not him.
Because he wouldn't know he wouldn't know what you were talking about anyway, would he?
No, he tweeted something. He tweeted like a full thing in Welsh.
Tweet him.
No, it's not him. This is what I'm saying. He can't speak English.
Account.
No, it is his
account, but
yeah,
it's someone else
is doing it. Yeah, because he can't speak a word of English.
Okay, he's already been out in the ring in Cardiff showcasing his speed, and apparently everyone's been absolutely wowed by it. He's 35 years old. He's unbeaten in 7 years. And I said he's obviously not liked in Cuba. He defected from Cuba, so that I've got that information now. So it's the Cardiff Ice Arena.
I've boxed there.
Good venue?
I've boxed a couple of times there, yeah, it's fine.
And it's the British super bantamweight champion in Jazza Dickens, but it's a world title that's on the line here.
That fight is bigger than that ice ring, to be fair, it is. If they'd have done that in Liverpool, they'd have sold the arena out.
Just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's big. If people, the whole of the city, would they come and watch Jazza?
Why is Jazza not get the publicity within this city? Is that partly to do with that whole sort of being in the right camp, match room, or not being in match rooms camp?
I think it is as well. Who was it Jazza lost to as well? Who was it that he beat by?
Gosh, you mentioned this the other day.
Yeah,
Kid Gallagher.
See, this is the problem when you lose a fight. People sort of shy away from the putting you in the spotlight because they've got this thing where if you lose a fight, you're not as good as they thought you were going to be. It's silly, really. I mean, in the UFC, you can lose 5 fights and still be, do you know what I mean, right up there headlining shows. That's the way it should be in boxing, but it's not. So I don't think he's got the exposure he deserves because he had that loss. But I think this is a massive opportunity for him to get back. I mean, it's a tough ask. It really is a tough ask. This guy is just so good. It's so good. But I'm sure Jazza is going to go in there. He's going to be confident. You know, in a boxing ring, anything can happen. I wish him nothing but the best. Scouse lad, you know, I want him to win, but this is, it's like Mission Impossible. He's that good.
It's a big ask. The WBA super bantamweight
title. Doesn't get no better than that.
Right, well, talking about big fights, all the farce that surrounded Gennady Golovkin and who he was going to fight. So initially, Chris Eubank Jr. obviously thought this was nailed on for himself. He did. And, you know, they're a cocky family. But then all of a sudden, out of the blue, it's Gennady Golovkin against Kell Brook,
of course,
who's got to change a weight division to have this
well,
fight.
Kell has been lingering around at welterweight, getting no big fights, bringing in names that the general public don't recognise or know. So, you know, obviously, they've spoke about the fight a few times because I've heard it on the IFL a couple of times where he's mentioning it. Oh, yeah, they'd jump at that fight. Now the opportunity's come and he's snatched it with both hands. I tweeted Kell the other day. Said, you know, made up, you got the big fight, but he said, "Oh, trust me, I'm going to do it." He said, "I can't wait."
So he's got to check, he's got to go up a weight division.
Yes, you wait. So don't, let's
now,
not
is that
forget
a problem
them.
When you're going up to face someone who is a bit in the Rigondo category, isn't
See, he's
he?
Not, he's not a massive, yeah, but he's not a massive middleweight. Golovkin, it's his power that's really unreal. He's not a massive featherweight. Kell is a massive welter. So let's have it right. Kell's a light middle. So he'll be a light middle, put a little bit of size on. He'll make middleweight comfortably, whereas I think Gennady Golovkin might have to come down a little bit, lose. I wouldn't look too much into the weight. Look into the power.
The power. So how's this happened? How's Chris Eubank Jr. not got his fight?
Well, going back to watching interviews online. There's an interview on IFL TV with Eddie Hearn, and it goes in for like 45-50 minutes. And it's extensive as to what has gone on, how it come about, what the problems were. And people need to go online and watch it because it opens your eyes to really how deluded and how backward Chris Eubank Sr. is. He's wrecked this for Junior. It's unreal. You know, Eddie's talking about, look, we have a budget. As a box office, we have a budget. you know, we're box office and Andy Joshua. We get set a budget. We've got to do the ring, the undercard fighters. We've got to set the paces for them. We've got to work within our budget. What is there from the start is for the number one fighter, the headline of the show, Anthony Joshua, whatever it'll be, and everything else we have to work out for the licensing, the health and safety, the officials, and that's how it is. Carl Froch, Kell Brook, Anthony Joshua, all set the same. Everything's done beforehand. And Chris Eubank's words to me were, "Well, we're not Anthony Joshua." So what he's basically saying is he thinks his son...
We're bigger than Anthony Joshua.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's trying to say. So Eddie Hearn's sitting there looking at him and he says to himself, is he being serious here? You know, and what do you do with that? So he was told, Eddie said to him, he said, look, this is the way it is. That's the contract. It's unnegotiable. Means it's not negotiable. We can't. It's not even worth talking about it. There's the deadline. So the deadline come and passed. And Eubank rings up, but no, we're ready to sign. He went, well, no, you're not ready to sign because the deadline was yesterday. You were told it was yesterday and you've not. We've gone elsewhere. And obviously Eubank started flapping, blah, 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 whatever. And the fight's gone. And,
but ultimately, it could play into his hands, though.
This went on for 5-6 weeks, though. No, not really. Yeah.
Well, it could in the end,
yeah, because
couldn't
it'll be a bigger fight.
He could get the winner of this fight, couldn't
no,
he?
No, I think he will get the winner of this fight, providing he doesn't act like an absolute idiot. And I think he needs to grow a set to Eubank Jr. and say to his dad, listen, stand aside. Because Eddie's honest enough on this interview. He's saying, look, I think if Eubank Jr. was in the room with us when we were doing negotiations and he was listening to what was on the table, he'd be saying, yeah, I'm sound. I'm you know, I want that fight. That's what he'd be saying, but it weren't. It was Senior doing the negotiations. Senior living in Plantpot land.
You can't help but feel they're a mirror image of each other, though, can you?
No, I don't think Junior's as bad as his dad. I think he tries to portray himself with the sarcasm, I mean, like the arrogance of his dad. Yeah. I think he does try and come across, because that was good, come on. I used to love watching Eubank get in the ring and jump the
great.
Top row.
It's a bit like Prince Nassim, wasn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. So I think Eubank Jr. is trying to portray himself to be like that. But in terms of the actual stupidity of his dad, he's not like that. He seems like a switched-on kid. Maybe he's a little bit influenced too much by his dad. Maybe his dad being with him constantly, and I think he does influence his decisions and how he acts.
Tony, thank you very much indeed. No battle of the Mersey. Obviously, devastated by this.
It's another win for me anyway, so it's cool.
He won last
Sorry,
week.
Mash.
He's on the beach. Yeah, no, he's listening to this. I know he's listening to this.
I let him get by. We need one more win. He's gone.
Yeah, this is it. I wonder whether he's planned his trophy yet, though. I want to see his trophy for you.
I'm going to buy him a Big Mac.
Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.